Our next presentation is going to be by Jennifer Park, who will be talking about hearing loss and some of its implications in preschool children in the United States.
Hello and good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Park. I'm currently at the National Institutes of Health. Previously, I had worked with the National Center for Education Statistics, and while I was there, I directed a study called the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study Birth Cohort. It was in that capacity that I worked with Howard Hoffman in developing that study and including measures of ear infections, hearing loss, and service receipt. And so through that collaboration, Howard developed this paper, and I'm presenting it today in his stead. So I want to thank Howard, even though he's not here today. Now I can be here in sunny San Diego instead of in snowy D.C.
You can use the down button right here.
Okay. Okay, and I'm just indicating here that I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation in the past 12 months. Okay, the objectives of this presentation are to examine with you prevalence estimates of diagnosed hearing loss and ear infections among U.S. children during early childhood. I'm also going to talk a bit about service receipt and treatment receipt among this population of children in the United States. I'm going to talk a little bit about observed prior and concurrent risk factors. And in the future, hopefully, Howard's team will be examining the relationship of these observed hearing loss frequency of ear infections with subsequent child development measures and school readiness broadly defined. The approach that we're using here is to use multiple data sets. In the first pass of this presentation, I'll be citing data from the NAMCS and the National Health Interview Survey. And then we're going to look further into these estimates of hearing loss and ear infections and look at the associations of these measures with child outcomes and prior risk factors using another data set, the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study Birth Cohort. These are trend data taken from the NACMS, and it describes for you rates of primary diagnosis of otitis media by child age. The next slide shows you percent of children with frequent otitis media, three or more ear infections within the last 12 months. This is from the Health Interview Survey. Again, obviously excellent cross-sectional data sets, children of multiple ages, but not one single cohort where we can look at observed outcomes over time prospectively for these children. So that's why we turn to a different type of data set to examine relationships between hearing loss, ear infections, and subsequent child outcomes. The birth cohort sample is a nationally representative sample of children born in the United States in 2001. The sampling frame was drawn from birth certificates through a relationship that NCES, the primary sponsor of the data collection, has with the National Center for Health Statistics. There were special oversamples drawn in this study, oversamples of low birth weight, very low birth weight separately, twin births, American Indian, Native Alaskan children, Asian Pacific Islander children, and separately Chinese American children, the latter group being oversampled as the largest subgroup within the Asian Pacific Islander ethnicity. We launched a study with about 14,000 children to be observed over time. And in the collection status, the ECLSB is done, essentially. We're done collecting data from sampled children and their family members. What this means for you as a data user is that we have released data from when children were about 9 months of age, about 2 years of age, what we call our preschool year, when children were about 4 years of age. We're just on the cusp of releasing data from when children were about 5 years of age. We call that the kindergarten year, when most of the children were enrolled in kindergarten for the first time. And I'm telling you, as we speak right now, it will be out any moment, as I understand. And then a last kindergarten wave, when children who were delayed enterers or repeaters were visited, about 25% of the eligible sample, and that will be released in about a year, we're expecting. I just want to point out, these numbers are rounded to protect child identities, so we didn't end up with these nice rounded numbers by chance. It's deliberate. Okay, so what is the early childhood longitudinal birth cohort study? It's a multidimensional study of a single cohort of children over time. We directly assess children's cognitive, physical development in multiple domains, emotional development. We also interview mothers and fathers separately, care providers, education providers, and the teachers, and pull in school data from other NCES data sets. So it's really a multidimensional data set. And I'll point in here just a few elements of many types of data that are collected during the parent interviewing process. We collect a great deal of information about neonatal screening, for example, relevant to this presentation, child health, frequency of ear infections, and treatment for the ear infections, reported hearing loss, diagnosis of hearing loss, treatment, etc. Okay, so from the birth cohort data, the first pass tells us that by age 4, about 71% of singleton children, taking away children of higher birth orders, had experienced at least one diagnosed ear infection. Between ages 2 and 4, about 40% of singleton children were evaluated for hearing loss. Overall, about 5% were diagnosed with a hearing problem by age 4. Prevalence for unresolved hearing loss, whether unilateral or bilateral, at age 4 among singletons was about 2%. Okay. Now, one other thing we can do with the birth cohort data is to look at the severity or the frequency of experiencing hearing infections for the same child over time, right? So we can ask questions within a time period: how frequently has that child experienced ear infections, and what is the associated outcome in terms of hearing loss that we observe statistically, or, for example, other aspects of child development, such as language acquisition, balance, etc. So this is one way to describe a severity index for ear infections that Howard's team had put together. Okay, and then another pass might consider data collected at 9 months, 2 years, and 4 years to measure severity of this, the frequency of ear infections. Again, these are medically diagnosed. Okay, and so what do we see statistically? Well, we can control for child's age and months, the sex of the child, race, ethnicity of the child, and maternal education, which is kind of a quick and dirty way of adjusting for those characteristics. Children with 4 or more recent ear infections were more likely by age 4 to be treated with ear tubes, to have their hearing evaluated, although that was commonly experienced by many children. That's why the odds ratio is not as pronounced as other observed odds ratios. Diagnosed hearing problems by a health professional, received speech or language therapy, obviously also one of the most frequently observed kinds of therapy among all children, which is another reason why that odds ratio is somewhat less pronounced than other odds ratios, and receiving more generalized hearing services. Okay. So in summary, the ECLSB allows us to have precision in estimates for the prevalence and service receipt of hearing loss, ear infections, and any association between the two. Because it is the only data set that's currently available, nationally representative, that it would allow you to look for children prospectively, direct cognitive and physical outcomes of such hearing experiences or ear infection experiences. It allows you to examine that relationship statistically. It allows you to consider prior demographic risk factors, if you will, hearing experiences, including the severity and treatment of those ear infections, for example, or the degree of hearing loss, and then subsequent child development, school readiness, and things, in fact, as school performance. So that summarizes the work that Howard's team has done. And he's asked me to ask you that if you have any questions, to please go ahead and contact him. If you do have any questions about ECLS, I'm happy to answer them while I'm here today. Although officially now I wear a different hat, and I may need to point you to another person. So thank you for your time today.